We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finman. We've got a great show. I hope Passover has been good for you, and it's passed over, as it has for all of us, and we're on to bigger and better things, and we're going to actually talk about that in the second half of the show, passing over into bigger and better things. But in this half hour of the show, we have on back again, this will be Jamie Loeb from the Marwil Film Festival. We'll be talking about the upcoming 2019 Film Festival, which is just a couple short weeks away. We have a wonderful assortment of a cappella music. That's correct. It's Sfira time, and Jews do not listen to instrumental music during the weeks between Passover and Shavuos, which is in about 7 weeks or 6 weeks from now. We've already done 1 week of it already. And well, maybe we'll get to explaining, but sometime in the ensuing weeks, we always explain why it is we're not listening to instrumental music, just a cappella stuff. But we've picked a very good assortment of a cappella songs for you. The portion of the week is the portion of Achrimos, which can be found in chapter 14 of Leviticus. And following, we have a really poignant Hasidic story at the end. Stay here all the way till the 56th minute of the show, and you're going to hear this great story. That's when we're done. But before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A 20-year-old Palestinian was shot and wounded as he tried to stab a border patrol guard at the Tapuach Junction in the West Bank. The attacker remains in serious condition. A rocket was launched from Gaza. Only one rocket was launched during the Passover holiday. A rocket was launched from Gaza. It's more news that there was only one rocket launched rather than that this rocket, which was launched from Gaza into Israel over the Passover holiday, failed to make it into Israel. It didn't even make it over the fence. No injuries or damage were reported. An arson fire was set at the Torat Chaim school in eastern Moscow during their Passover Seder. The back of the building containing the kitchen and food storage area was destroyed. Swastikas were painted on the back of the building. No one was hurt in the fire. Pakistan police arrested the last terrorist wanted in the 2002 kidnapping and killing of Jewish-American journalist Daniel Pearl. Pearl was the head of the Wall Street Journal South Asian division. His famous last words were, "My father is Jewish, my mother is Jewish, I am Jewish." Rabbi Shmuel Nutik and his wife Chaya were beaten and robbed in their Chabad house in Nairobi, Kenya over the Passover holiday. Chaya required surgery after the attack. The thieves made off with computers, passports, cash, and religious items. Israel issued a travel warning of high and concrete terror threat for Sri Lanka. The warning calls on Israelis already in Sri Lanka to leave as soon as possible, and for those planning trips to Sri Lanka to cancel. This is credible evidence that more attacks are being planned. And finally, comedian Volodymyr Zelensky was elected Ukraine's new president. Zelensky won with 73% of the vote. Ukraine joins Israel as the only countries to have a Jewish prime minister as well as a Jewish president. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are having something that's become now basically, I would say, an annual touch-up and get-together with the Marwell Jewish Film Festival. We have on today live Jamie Loeb, who's the director coordinator. How are you today, Jamie?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Thank God. I'm looking at the website, and I see this is the 20th year of the Lenore Marwell Film Festival. Give us, which is
congratulations. Actually, it's the 21st.
Oh, I must be
looking. We are finally of drinking age.
I hope I'm not looking at last year's website. Let me see.
The website is DetroitJewishFilmFestival.com.
Right. And I've got that. And it starts May the 5th through May 11th. Is that correct?
It's May 5th through the 15th.
Oh, May 5th through the 19th. And it starts with Call Me Bill, the Wolf David. Yeah, that would be Trek. Okay, so we got the right website.
Yes.
Okay, so
good.
We're putting the website together. It's everybody wants to follow along at home. It's DetroitJewishFilmsFestival.com. DetroitJewishFilmFestival.com. You can follow along at home as we're talking about these wonderful films that you'll be talking. Let's give a history. What was happening 20 years ago that warranted that Detroit should have something called a Jewish film festival, Jamie?
Well, I wasn't here then, obviously. But I think what was happening 20 years ago generally was that there was increased interest in Jewish culture and what was happening in the Jewish world around the world. And I think it was a time when a lot of places were starting Jewish film festivals because a lot of sort of special interest film festivals were getting off the ground then. And having such a strong and engaged Jewish community here in Detroit, it just kind of made sense for us to be a part of that broader trend. And at that time, we also sort of had satellite festivals in Flint, in Ann Arbor, in Windsor. And of course, over time, each of those communities has sort of just developed its own festival, and ours has become bigger here in Detroit. But initially, it was kind of a regional project, which is kind of interesting because, like I said, throughout the region, there's a really strong, engaged Jewish community, and people were interested in what does the film world of Jewish life look like across the world. And so this is a way to show people that.
Okay, so you're saying that Ann Arbor, Windsor, and Flint have their own Jewish film festival, Jeremy Lee?
Yes, they do.
That's incredible.
It is. So Ann Arbor, sorry about that. Ann Arbor operates completely independently. Flint, we help them out because they are a smaller community, and you know, we help with some of their logistics and things like that, but they make their own decisions on films for specific to their audience. And it's a smaller project than our, you know, long marathon of a festival, but it's well attended and very successful.
Okay, you're sort of answering my next question, which was the relevance of it. Since this happened 20 years ago, people's mindsets have changed. We're like a whole nother generation. We went from Generation Y to millennials in the last 20 years. So are you seeing, say, millennials taking part in the Jewish Film Festival?
Well, It sort of depends how you define millennial. Technically, I'm a millennial, but I don't have a lot of in common with someone who's 10 years younger than me in terms of how my life works. But I think, you know, what we're seeing is that generally across the country, Jewish film festivals are doing well. Our attendance numbers are good. Obviously, we're always trying to increase that. And I think our biggest challenge is less that the quote-unquote millennials, which I think has become just code for people under 30, but the cool kids, as it were, they still go to films and they're interested in these films. But I think, you know, I'm new to this community, and one of the things I've seen is there's a divide between people who live closer to the city and people who live closer to where we are in West Bloomfield. And I think the bigger challenge is a geographical one rather than a content one. And so we are doing an event in Royal Oak specifically to reach out to that community that lives closer into the city and in the city. So that's a nut we have yet to completely crack, but I don't think the film festival audience is aging rapidly, for example. So it seems that there is a crowd who is willing to come to the JCC for events, and of that crowd, some of them are stalwarts of the film festival. And, you know, that crowd is replenished, you see. So younger people will come in behind the older people. But like I say, there's this kind of geographical divide. So we're always looking for new ways to be more accessible to people who live in different parts of Metro Detroit.
Yeah, let me explain why I asked that question per se specifically. Yeah. My wife and I have been going to the Detroit Symphony Orchestra since we moved to Detroit about 30 years ago. And 30 years ago, when I was actually the second concert that I went to at the DSO, I sat down in the seat and the seat broke. That was before they like refurbished the whole thing, which was a good thing that they have refurbished it. So, but 30 years ago, my wife and I were the only people in the audience that did not have gray hair. And I'm seeing now 30 years later, so I have some gray hair. My wife doesn't have gray, but thank God my wife doesn't have gray hair yet. I guess I haven't bothered her that much, but we're still in the middle of the people that were going 30 years ago. They're still the ones going there, except now they're going with walkers and walking a little bit slower. And the younger people are they're still trying to like identify, get the DSO to do that. They're bringing in younger people and have the cube. They have this whole thing about trying to get the younger people in. So you as the director of the Marvel Film Festival, do you see a need then to say like bring in specific films which are going to attract the younger crowd so that they will become the participants of the film festival in 20 years from now?
Yes, I think it's always important to be grooming one's replacement, and that goes for audience development. It's really important, whatever kind of arts programming you're doing, that you are, even if the core of your audience is in a certain age bracket, it's really important to, as you say, reach out to the younger generation so that they sort of are part of the pipeline into that audience, into that core audience. I think, though, as we choose films, we are looking to make sure we have a good variety so that we have films that will appeal to various different kinds of audiences, different interests, different aesthetics, different senses of humor. And I think that, you know, so one of those things that we think about is, you know, different generations. And I think one of the, I guess, benefits that I've been able to bring, so I just started in October, and I'm also the director of the book fair. So I'm new to this position, well, newish. And, you know, I come from academia and the music world, and this has always been an issue on my mind. And I think what it comes down to is having a sense of what issues are important to what kinds of people. And there's a wide variety there in the Jewish community. And so if we choose movies that are going to be interesting and enjoyable to a wide variety of people, not any single movie necessarily, but we have the variety of movies that will interest a variety of people, then we start to bring in wider audiences. And like I said, one thing we're doing specifically to try and reach that younger crowd is we're having a live multimedia comedy show that I'm very excited about by these two guys who do a web series called Yid Life Crisis, which is very popular with the sort of 30s and 40s set. It is hilarious. It is a web series in Yiddish, and it's just great. So I'm very excited to have them because they are, first of all, hilarious. Secondly, they already have an audience with that demographic. So that, I think, will be a way for a new kind of group. And this is the event in Royal Oak. So it's an opportunity for a new group to see what Film Festival is all about, to see the kind of variety that we offer, and hopefully jump on board.
Fascinating. Okay, so you just answered two questions of mine. One of them I had was, are you having anything in Yiddish? And so the answer to that one is yes. Yiddish has become
very so that
chic.
Comedy show is, the show is not in Yiddish, but they're, obviously their comedy is very Yiddish inflected, and they will be showing at the comedy show and the next night at our patron night for the movie that they made. They'll be showing like short episodes from their web series, which is in Yiddish. Yeah.
Okay. And the other thing you answered was, is how, since with the demise of the Jewish Center in Oak Park of blessed memory, if you're going to be doing anything further down in the suburbs, and you've answered that yes, and to attract that audience, because for some people it is a schlep, even though it's only from my house to the JCC. I live in Oak Park. From my house to the JCC is a massive 12 miles, but
right,
yes, so but you have to get in the car and do
it. You know, the longer, the more, you know, again, being new to this community, what I'm trying, and being in the kind of position I'm in, what I'm trying to do is learn the patterns. And I don't think the issue is just the distance of the drive. I think when you go to Oak Park, Huntington Woods, around there, and in the city, it's a very different kind of community. It's a different kind of culture. It's a different set of expectations than when you're out in the West Bloomfield, Farmington Hills sort of area. And so I think it's really important for us to be really serving the needs of both of those communities, whether it's through different kinds of events that we do here, but also geographically, you know, go and visit the other community and be a part of their lives as well.
Okay. Thank you so much for clarifying that. Our guest today is Jamie Loeb, who is the director, coordinator of the Leonore Marwell Jewish Film Festival, which is at the JCC, and their website is DetroitJewishFilmFestival.com, and you can purchase tickets there. You can get a glance at all of the movies. How many different films will you be showing during the course of the 2 weeks, Jamie?
30.
That's a lot of films in 2 weeks. Yes,
yes. Indeed.
Now, one thing which is always intrigues me is like technical stuff. My wife says it's like I focus too much on the little things, but I noticed that opening night is the 5th of May, but you've got three shows before then. So wouldn't it then technically be then that the one on May 2nd is opening night?
So we're thinking of May 2nd sort of as a pregame. It's a special like pre-festival kickoff event. And so I guess technically the shows on May 5th, the 1 p.m. and the 4 p.m. could be called opening afternoon, but that doesn't have much of a ring to it. We have traditionally the first evening film sort of made a party of it, and so we just call it opening night. But the event on May 2nd will also be quite an event. There will be stadium food. There will be all kinds of memories of Bill Davidson. We're very excited about, well, we're excited about all the things. But, you know, we like to start with a bang.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And I guess starting with a prequel about Bill Davidson, he was definitely a beloved figure here in the Detroit area. So the big ta-da-dum is the opening night. So tell us about opening night then, Jamie Loeb.
So opening night, we have a really fascinating film. So there's this Broadway show called Golda's Balcony, which I believe played here at some point. And there was a film made of it. It's more or less a filmed performance by the actress Tova Feldshuh. And it's basically a autobiography of Golda Meir. And I have to say, I'm not usually a fan of one-person shows, but this is just gripping. It is so engaging, and you'll laugh, you'll cry, you know, the whole bit. And it's really a well produced and well-directed show, because I think the film aspect of it, the way they're able to do the edits and the film, the cinematography and so on, really keeps you in the moment in a way that I often find in a one-person show. I sort of, my attention kind of wanders a little bit. But the filming really, it really keeps you in it. And it's such an excellent film. And so we have the producer coming, who will do a little talk back with the audience after the show, and we'll have a reception. And it'll be all Israeli snacks, which we're very excited about. And I think it'll be a great way to start off the film festival, because it's such a broad range of emotions that you go through that, you know, it's kind of like a microcosm of all else that we have.
Mm-hmm. It's a very popular thing when at film festivals to show shorts. And you do have the shorts is on also on the 5th at 4 p.m. So it's beforehand.
Yep.
So I guess people can go to the shorts and then grab something and then continue on to the 7th.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is, so we have a new cafe opening up in the JCC, a sort of grab-and-go cafe that we have high hopes will be ready and open in time for May 5th.
Okay, that's let me stop you right there. That already is earth-shattering. I should have reported that on my news segment. So tell us about this new cafe.
Well, it's under construction. If you walk into the JCC, you will see construction happening. So I believe it's public knowledge. It's going to be a grab and go of some kind. I don't actually know a lot of the details because, you know, above my pay grade sort of stuff. But our hope is that people will be able to just hang out in the lobby between films. We also actually, so on our shorts program, we're showing at the end of that program a film called Gefilte, which is about the Hermelin family and their gefilte fish and their satyrs. And so we'll have members of the Hermelin family here doing a talk back about the film. And then afterwards, we're having an event with Reboot, which is an organization that is looking to, that sort of, well, reboots Jewish traditions and gets people engaged in a new kind of way. And they will be engaging people about their family recipes and their memories and their sort of connections to other generations. And people will be making really fun postcards that we'll be putting up around the lobby. So that will be a really fun event. And so, you know, you can definitely hang out for the day here at the J.
That's
new
cool.
Tagline.
I should get my wife to go to that one. She stopped making gefilte fish after our sixth child was born. It was just too much work. But if I could anything to inspire her to get her back into making gefilte fish would be wonderful.
Well, that's a good chance.
Yes. So are there any Yiddish films this year with subtitles, or Hebrew films with subtitles?
Well, there's a lot of Israeli films, and some of them have some Yiddish in them. There's a couple of, well, there's two films that are in German. One of them is not literally, it's a co-production from a German company and a Slovakian company, but there's not a lot of films being made in Yiddish, believe it or not. But we definitely have a wide array of Israeli films. And, you know, some of the several of those sort of go between Hebrew and Yiddish. Probably the best example is The Unorthodox, which is about the founding of the Shas Party in Israel. And it is a wonderful film. It is, it's a serious topic and serious things happen, but it's, the form of it is a bit like Ocean's 11. Okay. You know, just the way the editing works and the way the voiceover works, and the sort of central character, Yaakov, I forget his last name, is such a compelling character. He's just so, it's a great performance and also great writing. And he's so engaging and he's so fun to just watch doing his thing, you know? So I would say there's a lot of Yiddish inflection in the movies we have, but nothing in Yiddish per se.
Okay. Now, when I partake of films and whatnot, I like to go to comedies. So could you give us a list of the comedies that will be featured of the 30 films, Jeremy Loeb?
Right. Well, our comedy show in Royal Oak, obviously a comedy. On Sunday, May 12th in the evening, Mr. and Mrs. Edelman it's a very French film. It's wonderful. Very much a comedy. And then we have several films that we have categorized as a couple of different things because they have some comicness to them and are sort of not tragedy, but not really, you know, they're not just drama, but, you know, they have some lighter elements. One of those is an Israeli film called The Cousin, which is on Wednesday the 15th. The Last Suit, which is our sort of closing night, it starts off as kind of madcap adventure comedy sort of thing, but gets more serious towards the end. I would say, I think of The Unorthodox as funny, but there are differing opinions on that. I think my sense of humor may be a little different than other people's, but I found it to be quite humorous. Let's see. And, well, Chudaism, which is our patron night film, that's the film that the Yid Life Crisis duo made, which is, it's a documentary that's the history of Jewish Montreal as told through food, which how else do you tell Jewish history, right? So it's technically a documentary, but you have these two comedians making it, so it's quite fun. So I think those are probably your best bet. A lot of our documentaries are on the fun side. They're not literally funny per se. They're not comic, but we have, you know, a documentary about the Jewish women who essentially were the founding actresses of Bollywood. That's called Shalom Bollywood. We have another documentary about the Mambo craze among Jewish teenagers in the 50s and 40s, and that's called the Mambo Knicks, shockingly enough. So I think there's a lot in the way of fun, literally ha-ha funny. There are differences of opinion, let's put it that way.
Okay, so the film festival, we got to wrap it up over here. We're having too much fun. Yep. The film festival goes from the 2nd until the 19th of May. So the question I have for you now is, let's say it's May 23rd, and you're sitting around with your peeps, and you're discussing the success of the 2019 Leonora Marwell Jewish Film Festival. What would you say would be a successful festival, Jamie?
Well, I think for me, the biggest thing I look at is attendance. I mean, I know these films are good. I know there's interest in these films. But when you're putting on a festival, the thing it always comes down to is how many people actually showed up. Because they can't be talking about the films and engaged with the questions that the films bring up if they're not there. So that's the number I'm going to be looking the hardest at. And hopefully it'll be nice and big.
Okay, wonderful. That's going to do it. Again, could you give us the particulars, please, Jamie Loeb, for the dates of and where people can find information and buy tickets in advance?
Yeah, so you can find our full schedule and all the information at our website, which is DetroitJewishFilmFestival.com, and you can buy tickets there. You can become a patron, which we highly recommend because we have a great patron dinner coming up, And you can also call the Berman box office for to buy tickets, and their number is 248-661-1900.
Okay, that's going to do it for us. Well, I hope you have tremendous success in your endeavors, and we'll have you back again and for future endeavors then, Jamie Love.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Great talking with you.
Take care. It's been our pleasure. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back. Don't go away. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800. Herschel Tippman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. We have, for your listening pleasure, this is The Why Studs, and it's called The Greatest Show.
This is the moment you've waited for.
This is the greatest show. Slave away, I say, 'cause we don't like your faulty gods. We won't let them break us down to dust. We know that there's a place for us. For we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut us down, gonna send a flood, gonna drown.
Dreaming with our eyes wide open. And you were.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We are not playing instrumental music, so that gives us then and affords us the opportunity to dig deep into Jewish culture, things that you don't normally hear on the radio. So we have coming up next. It's not a song. It's not people like blowing in the sides of their mouths and making strange noises. This is actually the immortal Myron Cohen, a great Jewish comedian who is known for his dialects of all kinds. And let's listen to Myron Cohen.
When people really and truly want to laugh, I refer you now to the one and only, the master storyteller, Myron Cohen.
Thank you, my dear. You know, since this is the Thanksgiving season, and I always like to associate that kind of season with little ones, tonight is as appropriate as any to tell about just the lovely little ones you might have at home. For example, this adorable little 8-year-old girl, quite like one you might have in your very own heart, walked into a bakery shop and said to the baker, "My mommy found a fly in the raisin bread." He says, "So bring back the fly, I'll give you a raisin." And you know, cute little 6-year-old boy walked into the grocery and said, "Mommy wants change of a dollar." He gave him change of the dollar. The little fellow was on the way out. The grocer called to him. He said, "Just a minute, son. Where's the dollar?" So she give it to you Monday. And you know, since truth is so much stranger than fiction, imagine a man who found it possible for 25 years of his life to arrive for work every morning at 9 o'clock. Just as the good Lord made the day he walked in for his work at 9 in the morning, you could set your watch by his appearance. And suddenly one morning, after all these 25 years of punctual 9 o'clock appearances, he walked in at 10. Big lump on his head, 2 black eyes, bloody nose, ear hanging, lip torn, clothes ripped and disheveled. Boss says, "What happened to you?" He says, "Oh, I fell down old flight stairs, almost got killed." The boss says, "So this took an hour?" You know, I had a boss like that once. But speaking of falling down, I want you to hear about a man who's been drinking very heavily. This man is loaded, blind, fractured. There is a word that will accurately describe his condition. It may be found in the new issue of the unabridged Funk and Wagnalls Dictionary. He was fablunjet. It's a French derivative which will be found under either F or B, I'm not sure. But in this drunken stupor, he walked into an empty elevator shaft. He fell 10 floors. Now, that'll happen to some of us on occasion. Picked himself up, brushed himself off, and said, "I guess I should have said up." But you know, idle conversation.
Myron Cohen. Up next, this is the Y Studs. The song is called This Day.
Keep those chances on me. Heartache days we'll never forget. And these are the days.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shulton here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Acharei Mos, and it's that would be true only if you are actually living outside of Israel, because yesterday was Shabbos for people in Israel. There was only 7 days of holiday, where in outside of Israel there's 8 days. So yesterday we read the holiday portion, but they read Acharei Mos. So they're a week ahead of us and will be for several weeks. I think we catch up right before the holiday of Shavuos, if I'm not mistaken. But that's neither here nor there, because the vast majority of people listening to the Jewish Hour are outside of Israel. The portion begins with the story of Yom Kippur, what the high priest did in the temple on the day of Yom Kippur. So we could immediately ask, we're just coming out of the holiday of Passover. How is it that we are now reading about Yom Kippur? Therefore, we must conclude, and so you can't say something's wrong here. No, that would be wrong to say something's wrong. But rather, we must say that there is some intrinsic connection between the holiday of Passover and the portion of Acharei Mos, being that as soon as Passover was over, and even beforehand, yesterday in the Sabbath in the synagogue, in the afternoon, we read actually the first portion of Acharei Mos, which is what we do every Saturday afternoon. We read the first portion of the upcoming Seder, the upcoming portion. So we've already begun thinking about it, and it was still Passover. We're still thinking Acharei Mos. We've begun thinking about Acharei Mos. So we must conclude that there is an intrinsic connection between the two. The holiday, or Yom Kippur, let's talk about the portion first. What was it that the high priest was doing? What was evident from the portion in reading all the things that were going on in the temple is that there's a singular focus. It's the high priest. And the pinnacle of all the things that he was doing that day was going into the Holy of Holies, which is the place in the world. And it was specifically on Yom Kippur that even in areas where we celebrate 2 days of holiday, they celebrate, thank God, 1 day of Yom Kippur, which is uniqueness and oneness in place. So we see the theme of Yom Kippur is this idea of one person, one place, meaning one soul, one place, one time. The idea of Yom Kippur was that a person could relate to the Almighty in a way where sins were forgiven. Now, what's a sin? What's a misdeed? Is the person went against the will of God. What would be forgiveness? Forgiveness would have to come from a level of godliness which is higher than the will of God. This person violated the will of God.
But that level of godliness, which relates to us on Yom Kippur, is much higher than the will of God. It's that level of godliness that we are trying to connect to during the holiday of Passover, specifically the first night at the time of the Seder. The Passover holiday represents the exodus of Egypt. Egypt in Hebrew is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim means, translated literally, means limitations. There are warnings if you're going into the wrong area in Israel that says, you know, Meitzar. This is the border. Can't go any further. The word limit, Meitzar, actually has the root of the word tsar, which means tight, constricted. It's also the same word that means pain. But we're not going to talk about that. Tightness, constriction, is the exact opposite of what we are trying to achieve on Passover. What we're trying to achieve is the singularity with the Almighty, because the revelation that happened at the time of the Exodus, and even greater than that, at the time of the splitting of the sea, is a revelation of the singularity of the Almighty. And the Jews became one with that singularity. And this is what we're trying to do. How did we do it? Well, we went through a week of Passover, which Passover is a holiday where we test our humility, you might say. We have to change everything around. Our whole houses are inside out and upside down. The food that we're eating is basically based on simple. Bread is full of air. Bread has a wonderful taste. Matzah is flat and tastes like basically the box. And we're trying to achieve that flatness, that nothingness, because when a person is nothing, they can really appreciate the Almighty, because after all, the Almighty is infinite. And what can contain infinity? Nothing. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we have the Hasidic story coming up. It's really a good one. Don't go away. You're listening to the Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard. The Spex Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of the Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep the Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to the Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Would you like to get in touch with me? Go to my website, rabbifinman.com. Everything you need to ever know about Rabbi Finman is on rabbifinman.com. We have, first of all, the way to connect to me, to contact me, right on the homepage. We have archived editions of the radio show and other things and other programs in which yours truly is presenting to the community in an entertaining and informational way. We're past crunch time. Crunch time was last week, I say. We're eating all that matzah. We're at the end of April, and we still have March to pay, and we can't do it without you. So we're asking you to please, after Passover, go to the computer, like today, like now, and you can even do it from your phone. You don't have to go to the computer anymore. You can do it from your phone. Go to rabbifinman.com. And when you get to rabbifinman.com, click on the donations page and click on whatever number you'd like to donate. Make up your own number, and you can even make it a monthly thing. So let's say you can't do $100, but you can do $10 a month. Great. If you could do $100, that's $100. But if you could do $10 a month, that's $120. Everybody benefits. It's a win-win-win-win deal all over the place. As you'll be supporting quality Jewish radio programming, the only Jewish radio program in the state of Michigan, you'll be helping yourself because you're listening to it and you're giving charity, which is always a good thing. It contributes to your tithing, and the Almighty will appreciate it as well, because after all, Doing good things for others is why the world was created, and you're doing a good thing by helping me do good things too. So go to RabbiFinman.com and give a donation today. Don't like internet giving? I can understand. There's a lot of credit card fraud out there. It happens to me, actually. I'd say once every 3 or 4 months, I have to take a credit card and shred it and get another one because some nefarious individual has used my credit card information. I have no idea how they got it. But I understand. So if you don't want to expose yourself like that, if you've got the heebie-jeebies or the willies, whatever it is that you have, send your donation in any amount to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. The story. There was once a student of the Baal Shem Tov who said, I want to see the prophet Elijah. Now, this is a thing which people do, and people have been doing since Elijah passed away and rode up on that fiery chariot to heaven. They've said since he went into heaven alive, so he can come back and visit people, and he does. And there's all kinds of stories. But people have to merit. They have to work on themselves. They have to attain a certain level of spirituality. So this student went to the Baal Shem Tov and said he really would like to experience this seeing Elijah stuff. So they said, fine. Gave him a whole prescription of what to do for several months for what to do. And then he came back. He said, come back to me after you're done with this. Fine. So he said, what I want you to do is I want you to load up a wagon full of supplies. And there's a family in this village, and you'll spend the Passover holiday with them, and all 8 days, and then you'll see Elijah. So this is fine. Okay, so he loads up a wagon, and he knocks on the door, and he says, hi, I'm a student of the Baal Shem Tov. My name is such and such. His name is not given in the story. And I'm here to spend the holiday of Passover with you. And he says, I don't have any even food for myself. I have to put my house in mortgage to go get wine for the Seder. I said, don't worry. I have everything. And even had new clothes for the kids. And he had even toys for the kids. And they sat down and they had this really wonderful Seder the first night. And it was like food fit for a king. It's always nice when someone else is cooking. As my wife says, it's always great when someone else is cooking it. They had to wash their own dishes. That's the other thing, though. And the second night was also, and he stayed there with them for the whole entire week and took care of all of their needs. And at the end of the week, he said, thank you very much. He was disappointed, though, because he didn't see Elijah. It's like his whole reason in doing this, staying with his family, was to have this revelation of Elijah the prophet, and there's no Elijah the prophet. As he is walking out the door, he said goodbye, and he's mounting up, and the family's waving goodbye, and the husband says to the wife, it was great that the Baal Shem Tov sent that this disciple, and his wife said, what are you talking about, disciple of Baal Shem Tov? That's Elijah the prophet who came to us as the savior, the helper of the Jewish people. And the student understood, you don't have to go outside of yourself to see Elijah, but there's that Elijah, that helper within every one of us. That's going to do it. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you have a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you get back into the week. Lots of bread eating for you today. Yes, go for it. I hope you've had your bagel with a schmear. We hope to see you again next week. Take care. You grab your green.